Sue, the ousting of Christine Holgate has been characterised by some as an act of misogyny, including Lucy Turnbull. How much of Miss Holgate's departure do you think, as well as her bullying allegations, can be attributed to gender bias within the government?
Yes, that's a really interesting question, and it's not one that's easy to answer. It's hard to disentangle gender from all of this, and I think it's helpful to take a step back and to think about how this all came about. So in October last year, there was lots of commentary around about Australia Post. Workers were being asked to work unpaid overtime to deliver packages during COVID, which had, you know, increased deliveries. There was lots of commentary around executives in Australia Post were probably going to get bonuses, which I understand didn't happen. But during the time of the pandemic, you know, for executives to get bonuses is seen as a really bad look. And then when the Prime Minister came out and said that she has to go, I think that was seen as being a really kind of easy shot for him to get some leverage. And, you know, thinking that Christine Holgate and her buying of the Cartier watches had failed the pub test. So there's all that background noise. And then that's overlaid with the gender elements. And it is hard to disentangle. I mean, Christine Holgate has said that she believes that she was bullied. And so if she says it, I think that we have to believe her, because this goes, you know, to issues around violence against women, and we need to believe women. So if she feels that she's bullied, I think she probably has been. We also can see that male executives aren't treated this way, and male politicians in particular, you know, and so we've seen over the last few months with Christian Porter and the rape allegations, which he denies, and Andrew Lamming and the way that he has treated his female constituents, and, you know, very little has happened to them at all. Yet Christine Holgate has had to step down, which is a really drastic step.
Now, Sue, as you've already touched on, this comes after months of scrutiny about sexism and toxicity within the Canberra bubble, as you've touched on. What do you think Miss Holgate's claims indicate about the broader workplace culture within the Morrison government?
Yes, I think it shows that it's really toxic, and that Parliament House is, you know, can be quite an unsafe place for women. Being named in question time is very serious, and we don't see that kind of behaviour. We don't see male executives being named. So it does indicate a level of misogyny and lack of understanding of gender equality issues. So I think it is quite toxic. I think it also goes to the culture of parliamentary parties, and the Liberal Party has copped a lot of flack over the past few months for their lack of understanding of gender equality issues. And even though we've seen the government move over the past couple of weeks and they've released, you know, their response to their respective work report, it's not quite enough. And so I think the government still doesn't quite understand about gender inequality.
What is it specifically about Parliament as a workplace in particular that has rendered it so toxic, especially for its female employees?
Yes, well, I think there's a lack of accountability. You know, I think there's a couple of things. I think it's the culture of people working in high-stress environments, and they're working very long hours. And the work in Parliament House is very intense. So the pace of work is just phenomenal. And so it is a really work-intensive workplace. So there is that culture. But there's also a lack of accountability, because it is its own little universe. And, you know, I really hate the term a Canberra bubble, because that term was originally coined by the Prime Minister to let people know that what happens in Canberra, people really aren't interested. You know, it's in Parliament House, it's the Canberra bubble. No one cares about it if you're not in that bubble. And so originally that was a really pejorative expression to make out that people weren't really interested in politics. And so, yes, I really hate the term Canberra bubble. But saying that, there is, Parliament House is such a different workplace and such a contained workplace that these things are allowed to go on. And of course, in the corporate world, none of this behaviour would be acceptable. But it's the lack of standards, it's the lack of ministerial accountability, it's the way people are appointed, it's the fact that there is no central human resources area within Parliament House. The Department of Finance is responsible for human resources in Parliament House, and that's, you know, they're one step removed and they're a public service agency. And so it's compounded by all these features of a lack of accountability.
So final question, where do we go from here and how do we ensure that this does not happen again?
Yes, that's a really hard question. It goes to the culture of Parliament House. It goes to the culture within the Liberal National Party. It also goes to the way women are treated and women on boards and women CEOs in particular. So there's lots of things that need to happen. Boards need to become more diverse. Women represent just over 18% of CEOs in Australia. So there's still a minority. So we need to have more women CEOs. We need to have more women on boards and more diverse boards generally. So that has to happen to try and change that culture so that women aren't singled out. And then will the LNP ever kind of really understand gender inequality and the causes that have resulted in these awful situations?
Dr. Sue Williamson, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Sophie.